Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
If you think practicing law is hard, saying all that stuff from the Anderson's candy shop thing is really, really hard, especially when your mouth is watering. Well, this week, there were two lottery winners. One person won $731 million in the Powerball lottery, a person in a little tiny town in Maryland. And my understanding is last night, somebody won almost $1 billion from Michigan. And I have friends and family there, and I'm still hoping that I'm going to get a call with a very nice gift for their favorite radio lawyer. But have you ever wondered what you would do? I mean, yes, we all fantasize about buying the island and doing all the things we want to do. But really, from a business standpoint, what do you do when you have that much money? Do you call a lawyer? Do you call a financial advisor? What do you do? And today we have on Bo Loeffler, who is a lawyer who represents people who have won the lottery. He's from a law firm, the Loeffler Law Firm, somewhere between Toledo and Cleveland on the southern shores of Lake Erie. Hi, Bo. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Karen, thanks for having me on your popular show this afternoon. Great topic, very timely.
Yes, and have you gotten a call from our Michigan winner, or are you just waiting by the phone?
I'm waiting by the phone. It's funny that you made the comment about your family. I have family in the Novi, Northville area. It was purchased at a Novi Kroger store, of all things. And It's not a real big town. It's kind of west, northwest of Detroit, but very exciting times for that winner and the one in Maryland as well.
Yes, like a gross national product of a whole country. Okay, so what's the first thing you do? You get the ticket, you realize you win, you pick yourself up off the ground. What is the first thing you do?
I tell clients to go ahead and make multiple copies of it. Go ahead and put it in two safes. Go buy some small safes and go ahead and sign the back of it as well, very small print, with the ability to assign it to a trust or other entity such as an LLC, which we can talk about in a minute, but put it in protective custody. That's what I say.
Okay. And now, is there some rule? We know they have to come forward publicly, right? Can you tell our listeners why you can't just hide somewhere and never tell anybody who you are? What makes it a public event?
Very good point. The reason these are public events, and part of this, too, I want to speak to, some states are a little bit different, and there is some wiggle room here, and there's a trend moving in a direction of protecting the privacy of lottery winners. But you're exactly right. Because these are government-run programs, it's an issue of public trust and the public's perception of integrity that, yes, in fact, you know, this lottery is for real. You know, ordinary people, for real, win these. So that's the argument from a public policy standpoint.
Makes sense. Because you want to know. I mean, you don't want it to be some conspiracy theory that it was not really won and the government just kept our money.
You're exactly right. That's a perfect way of summarizing it.
Okay, Bo, so now they've signed it, you've secured it. Now what do you do to protect your assets? What's the first thing you do after that?
Well, one other thing that I'd like to just throw in there is there are some states that allow you to claim it anonymously. Ohio is one of those. Michigan, ironically, introduced legislation a year ago, Senate Bill 38, but it hasn't hit the governor's desk yet. So, and there are some lawsuits out there, Karen, as you well know, that have been successful in states that don't have the anonymous requirement that, in the end, we're able to go ahead and protect it anonymously. So I would recommend going ahead and contacting an attorney who works in this area. But the whole issue is, who can you trust, right, in these situations? So keep the circle of people that you talk to about this, you know, very small. If you have a family attorney that maybe is not specialized in this area, go talk to him anyway. He can co-counsel with someone who does specialize in this area. It's all about who you trust and how you can keep that circle of privacy very, very small.
Now, I'm going to give you a couple of examples and just tell me how you would analyze this from the standpoint of the law. There's an office pool. We do a lot of that, right? So we all have an agreement that we're all going to pitch in and we're going to buy lottery tickets. And so all of a sudden, there's a winner, right? How, and there's a fight. Say the person who has the job of going to the store and buying it gets the ticket and says, okay, now it's mine and you guys are all, you guys are out of it. How does that get analyzed by the law? How does a court look at that?
Well, ironically, there was a case almost like that on point, Karen, that you've kind of pointed to. It's a very, you know, excellent example that you've put together. There were 15 coworkers in Dayton, Ohio, and they went ahead and won a $200 million Mega Millions case. And a week later, there were four others that said, hey, wait a minute, we're included in that and should be. It's basically what is the course of conduct, what's been the custom and practice over time that, you know, has kind of been put together, you know, by everyone who has participated. That's what ultimately the court, you know, the courts would look at. And yes, you are right. There would be a potential for a claim by those maybe who weren't initially part of that particular pool that week, but had played historically, you know, with this whole group of coworkers.
Well, so it makes sense because it was sort of an agreement, if you will, that they were going to share in the proceeds of this, and it would probably have to be proven by just having people testify about what their expectations are and what their agreements were, right?
Right, and what their course of conduct was, you know, over the past couple years.
Yeah.
Ironically, in that Dayton case, guess what happened? As you would know, they settled.
Of course. Well, when there's enough money to go around. Yeah, there's enough money to go around. Exactly, exactly. You would think that, but sometimes that's not the case, as we know. Okay, so I say on the air, if you win the lottery, remember your radio show talk show host on WGN, and I have a listener who actually texts me and says, hey, you know what, Karen, I like you so much that if I win the lottery, I will give you half of it. Okay, then that person goes ahead and wins. Do I have a right to say, now pay up, buddy?
Yes, you do. I would say that you do. Save that text, though, most importantly. That is your key piece of evidence.
Ben, save that text right now.
Right. You're probably going to have a little bit of a fight and a pushback, but I think it'd be worth it, especially if you've had this kind of over period of time course of dealings. Hey, if I ever win it, Karen, I'm going to include you. You're my favorite talk show host. You got a great radio show. I love what you say. I love what you cover. Absolutely, Karen. I would, as your attorney, I would say yes. You've got a case.
I'm going to give my text number out right here. It's 312-981-7200, just in case. Okay, so now we have asset protection, which is something that I know that you engage in, and this could open up a whole 10-hour conversation about how you protect assets. But can you just give our listeners a few bullet points about some techniques and some methods that you have used in the past with clients to protect their assets? Because as you can imagine, I would imagine people come out of the woodwork asking, maybe suing you for something that you didn't do or claiming some claim to be an error of yours. Like, what are some things to do to protect assets?
Very, very good topic, especially for, you know, winners of sudden wealth like lotteries. You're exactly right. And the biggest issue is how can we protect that and preserve that for their ongoing lifestyle as well as any of their heirs? I always look to the foundational estate planning first. You want to make sure you've got a good power of attorney in place and as well, you know, a will and other estate planning documents. Then we move to the advanced you know, estate planning documents, as you pointed out, for example, an asset protection trust, looking at perhaps use of some LLCs as well to provide not only protection from, like you say, outside demands, frivolous lawsuits, but at the same time to protect the anonymity, you know, of these winners. Because, you know, when this gets out publicly, as you know, there is just a crush and rush of newfound friends, newfound relatives. Ultimately, they do come out, and we're trying to, as attorneys, as you well know in your practice, we're trying to protect that client and advocate for that client the best we can.
But where could someone contact you when they win the winning ticket?
They can go ahead and just Google Loeffler Law Firm.
And you'll see that on the WGN website. You'll get the Bo Loeffler's name and his name of his law firm. Bo, thank you so much, and keep practicing law. And if you win, we'll see what happens with your law practice. Will you keep practicing, okay, or will you not? Yes or no?
I would keep practicing, but reduce the work schedule a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. All right, well, take care. Thank you for joining us on WGN.
Thanks, Karen.